Jesus told us in Matthew's gospel, the 7th chapter, I believe the 15th verse, he said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like a sheep, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They want to tear you apart. They're hungry for sheep. Wolves like sheep. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill continues his study from the New Testament epistle of Jude with the message titled, Woe to Them.
25 verses of Jude. As we all know, they are the, you probably hardly ever heard a sermon on a Sunday morning, but here at Calvary, we go through the Bible, amen? We teach chapter by chapter, book by book, verse by verse. But what's sad is how neglected the Epistle of Jude is. It is so important that every believer understand it and have it living in their heart. So it's just as current, it's just as needed as it was the day Jude, the half-brother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, when he penned this. Now we know as he was writing it to those, we've learned, those who are called, those who are loved, and those who are preserved in Christ Jesus, are literally the word is kept. Aren't you glad Jesus is keeping us? You know, you're not holding on to him, he's holding on to you, amen? And he'll always keep you, he'll never leave you, never forsake you. So it was written to Jewish believers primarily at that time. Now, with all of that being said, there is an urgent appeal, as we've already learned, because Jude was writing about our common salvation that we all have. We're all saved the same way, amen? By faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. There's no other way, no other name. And he, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God stopped him, and he exhorted us, all of us, then and today, to earnestly contend for the faith that is once and for all delivered unto the saints, and that's us, amen? And the word contend is a strong word in the Greek. We get our word agony, okay? We want to defend the truth, but you have to know the truth in order to defend the truth, amen? Now, with all that being said, the reason they had to contend for the faith that they had, our faith as well, then was because certain men had crept into the church. Remember that word crept from our earlier studies? The word crept literally means that they came into the side door. They didn't come in the front door, okay? They came in the side door and slipped in secretly and settled in among the sheep in the house churches then or today in our church campuses and so forth that we have. And they were totally unnoticed by the sheep. They were unaware. They didn't catch it. And the reason that they didn't catch it, it was because they didn't reveal themselves. They're ungodly men. False teachers are ungodly men. Amen. And who turned the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, into lewdness, okay? They're grace abusers and so forth. And they even deny the Lord Jesus Christ. So they come into the churches then and today. They look like sheep. They act like sheep. They talk like sheep, but they don't smell like sheep, okay? They're ravenous wolves, if you will. Jesus told us in Matthew's gospel, the 7th chapter, I believe the 15th verse, he told us, he said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like a sheep, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They want to tear you apart. They're hungry for sheep. Wolves like sheep. Amen? Okay. Remember whenever Paul, you know, the study in the book of Acts is a great book to study. I love Acts. But remember when he was saying his farewell address to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verse 28 and following. He said to them, therefore, take heed to yourselves, be on guard, in other words, to all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd or to tend, to feed, to pastor the church of God, which he purchased or bought with his own blood. Aren't you glad the church doesn't belong to man? It belongs to our Father, amen? That means we belong to him. And he says, for I know this, that after my departure, here comes Paul, listen carefully, savage wolves, those false teachers, those apostates, It says, they will come in among you, not sparing the flock. They will also come from among yourselves. Men will rise up, speaking perverse things. And the reason, the purpose, is to draw away disciples after themselves. Not after Jesus, but after themselves. Therefore, he says, watch, don't fall asleep. Stay awake, watch, and remember, for 3 years I did not cease to warn you, every one of you, day and night with my tears. That was the last time they saw Paul the Apostle, remember? He's going to go bound in Jerusalem. But he warned them, and that's a warning to us. Listen, we must always be able to recognize apostates or false teaching and also resist their kind of teaching. Amen? Yes, and we do that by speaking the truth in love. We're not a bunch of mean Christians. So last Sunday, quickly, we saw three examples from the past of apostates. And we looked at Israel with the sin of unbelief. They refused to believe God. They refused to enter the promised land. And then the angels, they rebelled in heaven. Remember, their sin was that rebellion when Lucifer or Satan led them astray, and they were, of course, removed from heaven. And then we have Sodom and Gomorrah, the sin of unnatural lust and perversion. And did God judge them? We know that. And of course, all three of those examples ended in death. And the reason Jude used that was to remind everyone then and today that God will judge false teachers. They're not going to get away. Amen? Okay. Now, so let's begin this morning and look at these false teachers beginning in verse 8. And he uses the word likewise, which is literally in the same manner or the same way of those we studied last week, verses 5 through 7. He says, also these dreamers. Have you ever called a false teacher a dreamer? Well, they're dreamers, okay? And the reason they're dreamers is because they've done something. They've trampled the Word of God and the blood of Jesus underfoot, amen? They've turned God's grace into wicked, wicked lewdness, and they don't know it, but they think they're living a good life. Their dreams are powerful, but they're in a nightmare, and they haven't woken up yet. But when they wake up, oh, it's going to be bad, amen? And that's the truth of the Word. Now, dreamers, it's present tense. So it tells us something then. It's not just, well, I had a dream, meaning when it's present tense like it is, it means that's their lifestyle, loved one. They're a bunch of dreamers and so forth. So they followed their dreams. They lived in a dream world, basically a false reality. And the reason false teachers live there is because of their minds. They're number one, their minds are blinded. We know they're blinded by the wicked one. Amen. And their hearts are numb to God's truth. And when a heart is numb to God's truth, it's open to the lies of the wicked one, isn't it? So these filthy dreamers, their mind is filled with perversion. Look what they do. It says they defile or pollute or stain. They defile the flesh. That's a very important word. A specific flesh. Meaning they don't just defile themselves. They defile anyone they come in contact with. That's what they want to do. So remember, these false teachers, they indulged in the same kind of sins that were found at Sodom, and they condoned that and promoted it by turning God's grace again into lewdness. So these dreamers, they would dream up ways, if you will, to sin. And it was usually sexual sin, if you will, if you go back and study. But they would teach that it doesn't affect your salvation. We're under grace. And if you're under grace, you can sin, and it's okay. Is that true? No, it's not true. So they have no self-control over their flesh. And the reason is because of verse 19. They're sensual, not having the Spirit. In other words, sensual means worldly. And not having the Spirit, that means they're not born again. Amen? They're professors of Jesus, but they're not possessors of Jesus. The Bible tells us something about these false teachers and when they're dead in trespasses and sins. It says in Ephesians 4:17, Paul the Apostle says, this I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that you should no longer live or walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, meaning the unbelievers. He says, in the futility of their mind. That word futility of mind means the mind is literally empty. They're living a life without purpose. And you know, I say this at tenderness, we love the lost. We want to win the lost, amen? But loved one, lost people, they don't know it, but they're empty people, because we've all been there, haven't we? And not only are they empty people, their hearts are empty. They have only they have is the world in their hearts. It says having their understanding darkened. So they don't understand spiritual things and they believe what is false. If you told them, a lost person, that, you know, the devil is using you, they wouldn't believe that. And they said that they would turn away from that. But the reason, it says, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, and they are, who are past feeling, giving themselves over to lewdness. There's that word. Lewdness, to work, it says, all uncleanliness with greediness. So every kind of horrible sin with greediness, meaning they're never satisfied with it at all. So lewdness to work, that means their sin is their business. That is a picture of the false teachers. And look what they do. It says they also, these dreamers, they reject authority. Whose authority do they reject? God's authority. But they actually, not only God's authority, they reject all authority. It doesn't matter who it is. Romans 13:1 says there is no authority except from God. Amen? God's in control. You know, the world is not falling apart. The world is falling into place, loved one. Amen? Yes, it says in Psalm 47:7, for God is the king of all the earth. Verse 8, God reigns over the nations. He sits on his holy throne. The false teachers, they were denying the only one who has all authority in heaven and upon earth, Jesus Christ our Lord, Matthew 28:18, isn't it? Think of that. That's what they were doing. So all authority comes from the throne of God. Really, God's authority should be in the home, in the government, in our marriages, in all that we do. Amen? So these dreamers, they do something. They don't like authority. It says they speak evil of dignitaries, okay? Now, the word evil means to blaspheme. They blaspheme when they talk. The Bible tells us in Matthew 12:34, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what they speak is blasphemy, and they insult. They speak harm to others. And look who it is. It says dignitaries. Now, the word literally in the Greek is glorious ones. They didn't say angels, but I would assume they are angels. Amen? The glorious ones. We're not glorious. Okay? And so, but they're not fallen angels that they're criticizing or speaking evil of. It's God's glorious angels in heaven, isn't it? And now listen, they think nothing of insulting the world that's unseen because they reject everybody's authority. Now, we don't know how they did this or what I'm about to share with you, but they speak evil of dignitaries, of angels, and so forth. But we get a contrast here in verse 9. It says, yet Michael, the archangel, in contending or literally arguing with the devil, when he disputed, they were speaking back and forth, okay? When he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but he just simply said, the Lord rebuke you. You remember Michael the angel, archangel? In other words, Michael, that word means who is like God. And then the devil, that's the one who said, I will be like God. He didn't make it, did he? No. So Michael is the guardian angel, if you will, of Israel, but he's also, the archangel means chief angel, the first angel or whatnot. Do you think that Michael knew Lucifer, who is the devil, in heaven? Yes. Yeah, they knew each other very well, didn't they? Lucifer is the one who led the rebellion in heaven. And so he knew him very well, but the Old Testament is silent about this argument or this contending for the body of Moses, okay? It comes from a book called The Assumption of Moses or whatnot. However, it's here, and that must be true, amen? Because the Holy Spirit is the author of God's word, the Spirit of truth. So we don't know what was going on, but we do know what happened. It was a heartbreaking scene. Let me just read to you what happened to Moses and from Deuteronomy 34:1. You know that he didn't enter the promised land, remember? Okay. And it says, then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho, and the Lord did something. Because see, Moses is about to die. It says, and the Lord showed Moses all the land of Gilead, as far as Dan, as Naphtali, Ephraim, Manasseh, all the land of Judah, as far as the western sea. Now that would be the Mediterranean. To the south and to the plain, to the valley of Jericho, to the city of the palm trees, as far away as Zoar. Now, Zoar, that's where Lot took his two daughters, remember, after Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. And then here's what the Lord said to Moses. And the Lord said to him, and I want you to catch this. I believe the Lord, does God love us? Did Moses and God, did they have a face-to-face relationship? Listen, this was an intimate scene, if you will, a tender scene with the Lord speaking. And the Lord said to Moses, Moses, this is the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you'll not cross over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And God buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. You know, the last moments on earth for Moses, we don't know what happened, all the details, but they were spent in intimate fellowship with the Lord, weren't they? I would give anything to know what was said except what we have in Scripture. And, you know, Moses died, and he longed to go into the promised land. And, you know, we would do well this morning and every day just to ponder the sin of one man. Just one sin of one of the greatest leaders that we find in God's word. Amen? And what was that one sin? Was it adultery? Was it murder? Or No. It was one thing. God told him to speak to the rock the second time, remember? But he struck the rock. And God says, because you have not hallowed my name, you will not enter into the promised land, Moses. Matter of fact, not only that, your brother Aaron, the first high priest of Israel, he's going to die. You're going to take him up to the mount. You're going to take off his priestly garments, and you're going to place those priestly garments upon his son, and he will become high priest. And then Aaron died on the mount. One sin, just one sin, and all what it cost. It's amazing that God permitted no human to be there. No one mourned there. No one knows where he was buried. Maybe that's why the devil was arguing with Michael the angel. We don't know. We're not told. But I do know one thing. You know, we have here in this contrast, look at it again in verse 9. It says, and yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil when he was speaking or disputed about the body of Moses, he dared not bring against him, meaning the devil, any accusation. In other words, he wouldn't make a judgment. He did nothing. He didn't call him old slewfoot or, you know what I'm trying to say? Don't do that either. But he just said, the Lord rebuke you. He knew where authority comes from, doesn't it? The false teachers, they don't know that. Because look, the main point of this being here is that even Michael, he didn't rebuke the devil in his own authority. He just said, the Lord rebuke you. But in verse 10, in a moment, we're going to see these apostates. Listen, they speak against all authority, whether it's divine or angelic or human. And you know, when you start thinking about the devil, you know, he's not as powerful as people think he is. Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, my Bible teaches that he was defeated by Jesus on the cross. Amen. Matter of fact, he used to have the power over death, but now Jesus took that away from him. Amen? And we are in Christ. Now, with all that being said, you think Michael and his angels, the good angels, you think they're stronger than the devil? Well, let me give you the scripture. It says in Revelation 12:7, and war broke out in heaven, and Michael, there's that angel, it says Michael and his angels, they fought with the dragon. Now that's the devil. And the dragon and his angels, and it says, they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven. So the great dragon, he was cast out, that serpent of old, the serpent of old, meaning the tempter in the Garden of Eden. Call the devil, that slanderer, that accuser, and Satan, his name means adversary. Now listen to his mission, who deceives the whole world. The whole world. How much power does it take to deceive the whole world? Not much. Not much. The world doesn't have God's word. We do. Amen? No. And he was cast to the earth. The angels with him. We have the only truth. See, we know the devil's beginning, and we know his methods. We're taught in God's word. We have the only book in the world that tells us that. Amen? And we also know his ending. It's called the lake of fire, isn't it? Now look at verse 10 about these apostates, these dreamers, this contrast, if you will. Now it says, but these, meaning the apostates, these false teachers, these dreamers, these speak evil. They blaspheme that supernatural world, okay? And it says, of what they do not, whatever they do not know. In other words, they don't understand the unseen world. They don't have the mind of Christ. They're not born from above. And it says, and whatever they know naturally, in other words, naturally, they have no spiritual discernment, just natural discernment. It says, naturally, look what they're like. They're like brute beast. Man, what a word. Is God's word good? Man. You know, it says in 2 Peter 2:12, what did he say about false teachers? He said they are to be caught like animals and destroyed. That's a tough word, loved one. He said they're brute beasts, it says, or by these things they are corrupt themselves, or they destroy themselves. So what they participate in is going to lead to their own destructions. So they're like animals. They're brute beasts without reason. They're like animals. They're led by animalistic instincts, if you will. Why? They are devoid of any divine life. Again, they're not born again, and they're like animals. God says you're being led to the slaughterhouse. You're not going to make it. You're going to perish, man. And they've crept into the church today and then. Now look what happens in verse 11. Now, Jude loves triplets. Remember threes. He's going to give us three men, Cain, Balaam, and Korah. It says, woe to them. Oh, that's a word. How horrible it's going to be. Woe to them, for they, the apostates, okay, they have gone in the way of Cain, and they have run, literally run in greed or greedily, in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Now, that could be three Sunday sermons, couldn't it? But, you know, we're not going to do that, okay? So let's look at the first one. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. Now, Adam and Eve, their first child that was born on earth, the first child ever born, what was his name? Cain. The second child that was born, his name was Abel. Now, Abel was a what? He was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Yes. Now let me give you the scripture here, Genesis 4:3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain, he brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock, meaning that's the finest one he possessed, if you will. It was a blood sacrifice. The firstborn of his flock and their fat. So that would be the best portion. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Do you know that's the first recorded act of worship recorded in human history? Right there. And also it's the first offering mentioned in the Bible, but one of them was not accepted, meaning Cain's was not accepted. The reason? It was a bloodless offering. It was a faithless offering. Amen? See, the blood deals with sin. We're only cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Yeah, so Abel, now he came to God as a sinner, but not Cain. Cain, what did he do? He knew how to approach God, or he would have not done so. Does that make sense? So he knew how to approach God, but he rebelled against God's authority by bringing the fruit of the ground, something that he worked for, something that he produced. In other words, a work righteousness, or trying to earn God to love you, earn your salvation, and so forth. And so the way of Cain means that he came his way. It's like the Frank Sinatra spirit, you know what I mean? Y'all don't know that song. You're too young to know that, right? I did it my way, never mind. We remember, don't we, Pastor Marshall? Hallelujah. So, with all that being said, he rebelled against what? Against God's way of salvation, against God's way to cleanse sin, and against God's way to approach him, just like the apostates, okay?
Well, we hate to interrupt Pastor's teaching, but unfortunately we're out of time for today. But please tune in tomorrow to hear the remainder of today's message. Amen? Thanks, everyone, for spending some of your day with us. We pray that you have a great day, and we'll see you next time. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.